On your behalf, let me thank our sister Vi for testifying tonight. I was just thinking of that hymn, not now, but in the coming years, maybe in the better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. And if God was to place your eye in the crucible, I wonder how would we cope in such times. And yet we thank God that there is sufficient grace, grace for every trial and for every need. We're going to stand just for a short word of prayer, and so let's just stand for a short word of prayer. Our loving Father, we come and we thank Thee for Thy grace that has been displayed in the life of our dear sister. Rejoice, O God, in saving her, saving grace. We thank Thee for grace to stand. We thank Thee for sufficient grace. And Lord, we rejoice, O God, that the journey to heaven and home is undergirded by Thy present grace. Lord, we pray that as we come now to the close of this meeting, that we might know the help of Thy Spirit to just close out the meeting through the word preached, and grant even that hearts will be melted and hearts will be challenged as we meet around the precious word of God. And so answer prayer and fill us with Thy Spirit, for we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Returning to John chapter 14, just for a brief period of time. John chapter 14, I want to read just a single verse here in John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus is speaking here to Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on to the Father but by me. Now, if you were here last Sunday evening, I know some of you were, some of you were not, we did think about the opening statement that we have here in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus Christ said, I am the way. We reminded you on that occasion that Jesus Christ is the way from sin to righteousness. He is the way from our father the devil to God the Father. He is the way from the broad way to the narrow way. He is the way from earth to heaven. And we also reminded you, speaking about Christ who is the way, that the way of the gospel, the way to God, is a plain way, it is a free way, it's a finished way, and it is the only way. Just for a brief moment of time, I want us to think about the second statement that we have here, that Christ said to Thomas and to the other disciples just prior to his death and to his ascension back to the Father. Lord Jesus Christ affirmed to his disciples on that occasion, he said, I am the truth. I am the truth. And so for just some moments, I want to think about Christ the truth. Christ the truth. I want you to notice with me, firstly, the quest for truth. The quest for truth. No man and woman by nature are seeking creatures. One of mankind's greatest quests is the quest for truth. A person in this world is a seeker of truth, no matter what his or her role is in life. Whether a person is a scholar delving into the past or a scientist seeking to explain the origin of the universe, the internal functioning of an atom, or the development of a butterfly, or simply a neighbor who likes to gossip over the garden fence, we're all on a quest seeking for the truth. Philosophy is a science that searches for the truth. A love of wisdom is what the word actually means. Philo, love. Sophia, the Greek word Sophia is wisdom, love for wisdom. And thousands in the world's universes are seeking to reach the fountainhead of truth, illustrating man's insatiable search and thirst for the truth. But why this unrelenting search for the truth? It seems to be an integral part of us, a longing to be more comprehensive, a hunger for nothing less than the truth will really satisfy an individual. Truth seems to be interwoven into our very fabric, or the very fabric of our being. I suppose that is true. Whenever we remember that man was made and created in the image of God, although that image of God has been much distorted by our sin, there are remaining traits of God's image detectable in all of our lives. And this, I believe, hunger and longing for the truth is one such remaining truth and one such remaining trait, because God is a God of truth. And being created in His image, then I believe then there is this longing for the truth. Whenever Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, came to interrogate the Lord Jesus Christ, Pontius Pilate asked this profound question to the Son of God in John 18 and the verse 38, a question that I hasten to add he failed to wait for the answer to. The question on that occasion to Jesus Christ by Pontius Pilate was this: what is truth? The human race before him had asked that question down through the generations, and mankind ever since Pontius Pilate has asked that question: what is truth? And maybe, just maybe, that's the question that you're asking tonight. What is truth? What is the truth about God? What is the truth about the way to heaven? What is the truth about what lies beyond the grave for any one of us? And where is truth to be found? Tonight you might be saying in your heart, well, the Roman Catholic believes that their church is the custodian of the truth. And then along comes the Jehovah Witness or the Russellite, and they claim to possess the truth. And then the Mormon, he speaks up and he says, no, we in the Church of the Latter-day Saints, we hold the truth. And then we have the Buddhists, and they say that their religion is the guardian of truth. And I suppose tonight you're going to tell me in the gospel that you're teaching the truth. Who am I to believe? What am I to believe? And where is truth to be found? What is truth is a question that has long baffled the world. It was a great subject of inquiry in all of the schools of the ancient Greeks. Different philosophers, from Plato to Aristotle, held differing views in answer to that great question. And divergent views still exist today to the exact response that we need to give to that question: what is truth? But mankind, despite the varying views that there are out there, mankind still continues on the quest for the truth. However, the Bible, God's word, has the answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? But let me say that truth is not a what, but truth is a who. Pilate asked the wrong question of Christ that day, because instead of asking what is truth, Pilate should have asked who is truth. Who is truth? And that brings us to a second point, the source of truth. This great quest for the truth. But where is truth to be found? Well, let me say that truth is never sourced in the multitude of philosophy books that can be found in the libraries of the world. Truth is never to be found in the writings of ancient scholars or philosophical thinkers, but truth finds its source in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said as much in this text tonight. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. A.W. Pink said, truth is not found in a system of philosophy, but in a person. Jesus Christ is the truth. You see, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. Being God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has the same attributes as the Father and as the Holy Spirit. What is true of one person within the Godhead is true of every person within the Godhead. And so what do we read about God? Well, I read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, that He is a rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. I read in Jeremiah 10 and the verse 10, but the Lord is the true God, He is the living God and an everlasting King. And then, with respect to Jesus Christ, I read these words in John 1, verse 14 and 17. And the Word, speaking of the Savior, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By his coming into this world, Lord Jesus Christ came to confirm, to preach, to establish, to verify, and to dispense the truth. He came to establish the truth about God, that God was holy, that God was righteous, and being a God of pure eyes, than to behold evil, that he could not look upon iniquity. And so he came to dispense and to establish the truth about God. But he also came to establish the truth about sinful men and mankind. That man was not inherently good, as pride would have him to think, that man was wholly destitute of any spiritual good, totally depraved, and that to his very core. And so Jesus Christ, he spoke the truth about men, because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of men as sinners, those who had broken his law, transgressors, those who had violated his commandments, people that needed to be saved, born again, converted if they were ever to be in God's heaven. He spoke the truth about men, and he spoke the truth about God in Jesus Christ. And I say tonight, in Jesus Christ there are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He came not only to present and to preach the truth, but he actually is the truth. Christ is the personification of truth. And since he is the truth, then I want to say, sinner, tonight, it would be a tremendous folly and mistake on your part to ignore him who is the truth. In truth, he has said to you that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In truth, he has said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In truth, he has said that except a man or woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the God of truth has said that. And if you reject then his counsel tonight, then I want to say that you're rejecting the truth. This evening you might say to me, preacher, my minister tells me something different than you. He certainly doesn't tell me that I need to relinquish my sin. He certainly doesn't tell me that I need to renounce my sinful way of living. He does not bring to my attention that I need to receive Christ into my life and live a life of holiness and obedience to God's word. Well, I would challenge you to take what your minister says and then take a copy of God's word and compare what he says to what it says in the Bible. And if they do not correspond, then reject what your minister says and believe what the Bible says. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And so I would challenge you tonight, if you have a problem with what I'm saying tonight, is get a Bible, study it out for yourself. And if there is something contradictory that I have said with respect to your way to heaven, then come and speak to me, because I need to be put right. I'm preaching the truth. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're undone. You have no hope. No refuge for your soul. You have no righteousness of your own by which you can plead, whereby you can be brought into a right standing before God. And so tonight you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. And he suffered for you. And he endured the cross for you. And he died and he was buried. And bless his name, he rose again from the dead. What will it ever avail you, sinner, if you find yourself in hell and you had mastered all the sciences of man and you were acquainted with all the events of history and you are well versed in all the languages of mankind and thoroughly acquainted with all the politics of the day, what will it avail you, sinner, in God's hell? It will avail you nothing. It's sad to say there are men and women and boys and girls who would rather believe the devil's lies than to believe Christ, who is the truth when it comes to these important matters of eternity. Who will you believe tonight? Christ, the truth? There's one final point I want to address you upon as we bring the meeting to a close. The ramifications of Christ being the truth. Here he says, I am the truth. What are the ramifications of that great statement? Well, since Christ is the personification, the source, the custodian, the dispenser of truth, then firstly, all other claimants to the truth must be rejected. There cannot be two truths. There cannot. There can only be one who holds the truth. Those religions and those leaders who claim to possess and to propagate the truth must be relinquished then in light of the claims here of the Son of God statement in John 14 verse 6 when he said, I am the truth. He affirmed the truthfulness of his words by his resurrection from the dead. That's what affirmed this truth to be true. All that he said was verified by his resurrection from the dead. And surely you would have to admit that no greater verification of Christ's truthfulness could be given than that by his actual rising from the dead. Now, truth is always exclusive. I spoke about that last Lord's Day evening when I spoke about Christ the Way. The world clamors for inclusiveness. But Bible Christianity declares and argues for exclusiveness. And truth is always exclusive. It's always dogmatic. It's always intolerant with non-truth. Or otherwise, it would not be the truth. Let me give you an example. Think about a mathematical truth. Your sister Vi says she doesn't like maths or figures. Well, I trust this is simple enough. 4 + 3 = 7. Now, 4 + 3 will always equal 7. No matter how much a person may protest, it does not change a mathematical truth. And thus, any other attempt to say something else will be met by strong opposition from the truth, because truth cannot tolerate error. 4 + 3 will always equal 7. And so with the truth that is in Jesus Christ, acceptance of that truth automatically then eliminates the acceptance of every other claimant to the truth. I trust that you follow the simple logic of this. Since Jesus Christ is the truth, he excludes all other error, no matter how popular, no matter how widespread, no matter how ancient, no matter even how convincing that may be. His claim to the truth, verified by his resurrection from the dead, excludes all other people who claim to have the truth. And so they may jump and shout and say, we have the truth, but Jesus Christ said it. And he has verified it, rising from the dead. And so again, the choice is very simple. Will you accept the truth that is in Jesus Christ, or will you accept the truth or the unfounded claims to truth from another source? The second ramification of Christ being the truth is that he is to be entirely believed on every matter. Whether that's concerning the matter of how he views sinful man, whether it be with respect to the way to heaven, whether it be to the eternal fate of the unsaved, the standards that he expects of God's children, whatever matter you care to mention, God is to believe without question because he is the truth. And so, sinner tonight in this house, believe him when he says in truth to you that if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. Believe him because he's truth. And believe him whenever he says to you to call upon his name that you will be saved. Believe that truth, and also believe the truth that if you would only but receive him, that he'll give you the power to become the son or daughter of God. Believe him. He's well worth the trust. the final ramification, and with this I close. The final ramification of Christ being the truth and you actually believing the truth is this: the truth will set you free. Lord Jesus Christ said it. John 8 verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from sin slavery. Free from Satan's tyranny. Free from hell's misery. The truth of the gospel, the truth that is in Christ, is a truth that liberates, emancipates, sets free. It liberates a sinner from their sin. It liberates them from fear. It liberates them from eternal punishment. The truth will set you free. And so tonight I would encourage you to accept the truth that is in Christ as is contained in His gospel and in His word, and be reconciled to Him by the sacrifice of His own Son. Sacrifice that He offered on Calvary's middle cross those many, many years ago. It is my prayer that tonight you'll know the liberating power of the gospel as you receive Christ, who is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Now, will you accept the truth? Will you believe the truth? Will you come as a sinner to Christ? He in truth has said that if you do so, having turned from sin, He will in no wise cast you out. May you come to know thy Savior, my Savior. And many in this house who know Christ as Savior, may you come to know Him as your Savior and be saved by His sovereign, amazing, and wondrous grace. Jesus said, "I am the truth." May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer, please. We're thankful for the Lord, His help given in testimony and preaching of the word, though it be short. And yet thank God even what our sister Vi said about coming into a meeting, hearing just the word finisher, the finisher of our faith. Rejoice, O God, we rejoice that even God can take the word, maybe a simple phrase, maybe a verse spoken, quote it, to strike your heart. If that has happened, and if God's Spirit has challenged you in any part of this service, will you make your need known if you're not a Christian? And we'll take the word of God that contains the truth, and it is the truth, because we read in Daniel that they're called the Scriptures of Truth. We'll take those Scriptures and we'll show you how to be a Christian. But it's simply turning from sin, trusting in Christ, and giving a life entirely over to the Christ of God and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Will you do that tonight? You come as a sinner to the Savior. May you do so. We're here to help. Please, speak to us at the door. Our sister Vi will be with us at the door on the way out. Let's seek the Lord. Our Father and our God, we bless Thee for the One who is the truth. Where is truth to be found in this world of fake news, as we've been hearing about recently? Where is truth to be found in this multi-faith society in which we live? Where is faith to be found in this secular generation and this secular nation in which we now live? We rejoice, O God, that we know where the truth is to be found. It is to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring people onto Thy Son tonight and let them know the truth in a saving way. Let them know Christ, and Christ will set them free. Lord, do that, we pray, and glorify Thy Son in the salvation of the lost, in the restoring of the fallen, and in the encouragement of Thy saints. Bless our hearts and take us to our homes in safety, and may the Spirit of God apply the word effectually to every heart. For we pray these our petitions in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen and amen. Thank you.